train of thought. It's good to be here tonight again. I couldn't help but think of, and still thinking about the prayer that was offered just a moment ago. One of the very things that should happen when we gather together as a people of God is naturally we should build each other up. We should implant in each other an excitement about what we are doing. And hopefully tonight as we go through the lesson, I'm going to kind of springboard into what I'm going to be doing in my class downstairs and talk about faith and how faith is the starting place to it all. And we're not talking about knowledge. Knowledge leads us to faith, but we're speaking about faith. And we're working with the understanding that we're where we need to be in our relationship with God. But I want us to understand right from the very start that faith alone will not save us. And I think we can appreciate that, and that will not be the direction of the lesson this evening. But faith alone is not enough. Faith is the foundation for which we stand on as Christians, as we'll look at in just a moment with a couple of verses. But we need to grow our faith, and hence, God's garden. And that's what we'll be talking about downstairs in all the classrooms, growing our faith and excelling in our walk with God. And no doubt the kids are going to benefit greatly, as I know all the teachers have already. I know I have. Turn, if you will, over to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at a couple of verses there in particular. Two that were read for us just a moment ago by our dear brother Birdie. Hebrews chapter 11 is often noted as the hall of faith, I guess we could say. You read this chapter and you can't help but walk away understanding what faith is. Because not only is there a definition of faith and the purpose of faith and how it's the start of all things, but we find many men and women listed in Hebrews chapter 11 as having a working faith. Striving after God, and not just knowing about God, but having a working faith. And it is a rich chapter. And amongst all this richness that we find in Hebrews chapter 11, we find verse 1 and we find verse 6. And I want to start there this evening. Verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You talk about substance, what comes to mind? This past week, Sister Marcia and myself, we were sitting and studying together, and we talked about this word substance and what substance means, and in particular what it means in this chapter. Pertaining to faith, faith is the substance. It's the sub. We often think about subfloor, right? It's the thing that holds us up. If we didn't have a subfloor tonight, where would we be sitting right now? In the basement. But we have a subfloor, so we're able to sit in this auditorium together. For the Christian, notice it again, faith is the substance. It's the thing that we stand on, and it's evidence. You know, we think about, we recently went through a book, a chapter in Psalms that would teach us how God's created all things and aligned things as He's wanted to. And that how we are without excuse with not understanding that there is a God. Each time I look at a flower, that's evidence that God exists. Each time, as we did recently, planted trees in the ground, and we watched them grow and watched the leaves that were once wilty become strong and vibrant with green, it's God's handiwork. Each time we're able to look at a woman that's pregnant, that's God's handiwork. Hold a child, it's God's handiwork. As Brother Kevin knows, look into the body of, and all how the body is constructed. It's God's handiwork. Brethren, we don't have a blind faith. Our faith is very real. And it's what we stand on as Christians. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. Just because we can't see God does not mean He does not exist. And then you turn over to verse 6 and it says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So not only in this chapter do we find a little bit out about faith and what purpose it serves for the Christian, it's the very thing we stand on, but in this chapter in particular in verse 6, we find without having faith, it's impossible to please God. It's impossible. Kind of like me running a marathon right now. It's impossible. Floating, maybe, but not running. Impossible. Without faith, It's impossible for the individual to be pleasing to God. For he must for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Those that use their faith as a substructure to stand on spiritually. Brethren, there's much to learn about faith, and I don't intend to exhaust our knowledge tonight or know about faith. It's just simply to give us a little bit of understanding with this concept of faith. You know, in Galatians chapter 3, it's interesting because it talks about faith as well. Appreciate so much. Turn to Galatians chapter 3. Appreciate so much Brother Jeff asking what my subject was on tonight and his willingness to put songs together, as we've already done, sang about faith. But I don't know if you notice this. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 26, it says, "You are all sons of God," what? "Through faith in Christ Jesus." I want to overwhelm you tonight with the verses that are listed in the Bible about faith. You see, we often think about faith in one direction. But in scriptures, and as we'll put up a PowerPoint in just a moment from now, I'll advance the first one. I want us to understand, when we speak about faith and we look into the Bible pertaining to faith, faith saves us. Saves us. But we need to understand what's mentioned in each of these verses. Galatians 3 and 26 teaches us that by faith we are children of God. We are children of God. There is no salvation without faith. So when we talk about saving faith, and we'll get to that in the latter part of this lesson, when an infant is baptized, does that serve any purpose at all pertaining to salvation? No. None whatsoever. Well, the question might be, then, why do people do it? Well, I think you probably already know the answer to that. We come up with our own ideas, don't we? Our think-sos, our want-sos, and we go ahead and we pursue those things. We don't find infant baptism listed in Scripture. And definitely, a baby doesn't need to be baptized to be saved. Why? This verse teaches us that we are saved by faith. An infant cannot, it is impossible for an infant to have the right type of faith that saves. But you are very capable of having that tonight. And you should. We can also be condemned without having faith. You know, it's kind of interesting. In Mark chapter 16, we often turn to this verse and we talk about the Great Commission. In Mark chapter 16, and in verse 16, this is what's recorded for us. "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" It goes on to say in verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." Again, we need to have belief in order to be saved. And so I want us just to understand, as we start this lesson tonight, that it's impossible to please God without faith. Faith is a substance, it's the thing, it's the subfloor as Christians that we stand on. Without faith, we fall. And we will fall and fall and fall again. The right type of faith will save us. Matter of fact, God calls us His children by faith. And so I wanted us to start there before we went anywhere else in this lesson and just kind of understand a little bit about the importance of faith. Well, how does faith come? If faith is so important to us, without faith it's impossible to please God, then how can we gain the right type of faith that becomes pleasing to God? That would be the natural question that we want to go with. This is what I'll be talking about with our middle school children that will be attending VBS this year. It's a starting place. But it's not something to rest our hat on. It's not to sit down and say, "Well, I have faith. I've done all that I can do. It's time for me to sit down and relax." No, as we'll find tonight, and as we'll find all this week, there is much to do as a kingdom citizen. There's much to do. In Romans chapter 10, in verse 17, let's work with this line of thinking. How do we gain faith? I put before us, there's only one place that we can go to gain faith in God. And do you know where that place is? It's not books for dummies. It's not internet. Although those are good places, we can go to those places and gain some knowledge. But when we talk about having faith and where faith comes from, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says what? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by what? Opinions? Think-sos, I-sos, all the different things that we come up with on this side of eternity? No. It teaches us in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so when we talk about this idea, how do we gain faith? How do we get to that starting place where we can stand upright, confidently, on our faith? It begins by understanding and appreciating God's Word. Acts 15 and verse 7, let's turn over there just very quickly as well. Acts 15 and verse 17, it's not my intention to take one text this evening and break it apart and spend a lot of time talking about one in particular verse, but to overwhelm you. Again, I want to overwhelm you about this subject about faith. And my hope and desire is that you'll go home and you'll say, okay, what did Neil talk about tonight? Well, he talked about faith. What were some of the verses that he used? Well, I know he's in Hebrews chapter 11, and hopefully you're marking down some other verses, so you'll go home and you'll study about this and exhaust this, and maybe this next week. Maybe that might be this week's study for you. I'm going to study about faith. I know we're going to be doing it here. We're going to talk about growing our faith. But in Acts chapter 15, and in verse 7, this is what's recorded for us. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God chose from among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and what? And what? Believe, right? Believe. What's Mark 16, verse 16 say? He who believes and is baptized will be saved. What's it say in this verse? In verse 7. And when there had been much dispute, Peter rose up and said, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago, God chose from among us that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of God. How important is that? I'm here to tell you that without the word of God, there's no way that you can believe and be right with God. We need God's word. It's the thing that leads us into obedience. If we didn't have the word of God, we wouldn't know what baptism was. If we didn't have the word of God to direct us, every man could do what he wanted to do. But we have the word of God. It's God's authority for us to follow today. His word is authoritative. And so when we look at this, how does faith come? It comes through the Word of God. That's what we find in Romans chapter 10, and that should be 17. Acts 15 and verse 7, that's what's recorded for us. There's other verses there, and you can jot those down, as I mentioned just a moment ago, and study this next week about it. But in Romans chapter 10 and verse 14, let's go back to that text. Again, we're going to be jumping around. I want you to be overwhelmed tonight with this subject about faith. In Romans chapter 10 and in verse 14, this is what's recorded for us. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I think all of us understand a preacher like myself, a located preacher, is not necessary for somebody to be saved. But somebody preaching God's word is absolutely essential. We've got a lot of different ideas kicked around in the religious world today, even on the simplest of subjects like how to be saved. It's a lot of different ideas. We mentioned one, a sprinkling, and sprinkling of infants. My brother in Newfoundland, he's had his children sprinkled. I've talked to him about it. He says, well, that's what I want to do. And I said, well, you do what you want to do. But I want you to understand, nothing is happening with the soul of that infant. We know that there are people that believe that not only do you not have to get baptized, but you can say the sinner's prayer and be saved. There are a lot of religious ideas out there on how to be saved. And I put before us that each and every one of those ways is not authorized in Scriptures. The only one that can lead us to a right type of faith is the one and the direction that we find listed for us in Scripture. Scripture is absolutely essential for one to know how to be saved and how to have the right type of faith. So if we want to talk about growing and speak about God's garden, we have to understand faith is the starting place, but not just any faith, a righteous faith, a faith that is rooted and grounded in God's word. It's key and essential. We build our faith in any other way than we're building a building that will eventually fall. There is a difference between faith and opinion. Do you know that? It's interesting when you start talking to people, because people, but when you ask them before that, do you understand the difference between faith or righteousness and opinion, I understand that. But then you get in and you start talking about biblical verses and biblical ideas, and that whole idea then goes out the window, doesn't it? Well, my preacher says this, or I think this way. It doesn't matter what God says. It doesn't matter what the Scriptures say. It all goes out the window. And so I want us to understand and appreciate, when we talk about faith and how faith comes by the Word of God. We also want to mention this evening, as we think about Nicodemus. I wasn't going to do this, but let's turn over there. John chapter 3. Let's turn over there and read that text. The moment for just a second this evening. In John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. And I'll paint a picture to you, this idea of opinion and truth. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. Is that an opinion or fact? It's fact, isn't it? That's truth. He understood that. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Is that truth or opinion? That's truth, isn't it? He goes on to say, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now Nicodemus had a problem here, because this wasn't what he was thinking about. And we notice this in verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how then shall a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Well, now we know that there is problems, right? We know that's impossible. And so where Nicodemus' mind was not where it needed to be. And so Jesus answers and says in verse 5, Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and a spirit, he cannot see and cannot enter the kingdom of God. This past week I had a discussion with somebody. One of my friends, they posted a video, and it pertained to same-sex marriages. And so we had a big discussion about that. And I kept turning to Bible verses and giving Bible verses for this individual. And then before too long, here come three or four other people, not to my defense, but to their defense. And before too long, there were about 15 people in this discussion, one standing for biblical principles and a whole lot of other people standing on opinions. It's sad that that's where we've become as a group of people today. We love opinions. But what's interesting about opinions is everybody has one. But few have the truth. And even fewer stand in the right type of faith. And so I want to plead with the group to understand this. Faith is absolutely essential to your salvation.
It's absolutely essential to those that you'll talk to. It is absolutely essential as we talk to these young people this next week to teach them and help them to understand that faith is absolutely essential. But we also need to teach them where faith comes from. It comes from God's Word. And it's there that they need to rest, in God's Word. All else is opinions. And I'll tell you, opinions will not save you. Only by God's mercy and grace and His will and being obedient to it will it save us. We can all have faith, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Okay, so we want to get to where we want to get to this afternoon. How many faiths are there? Kind of an interesting thought to think about. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's go over there for just a moment. We're going to read a verse very quickly. Again, we're not going to exhaust the idea that we find in Ephesians chapter 4. Just simply make a point and move on very quickly in a timely way. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. How many faiths are there? One. And we understand when we turn to this, when we speak about faith, we're speaking about God's Word, God's way. Standing in faith, like we talked about this morning, in God's way, there is only one way that we can do that, and that's in accordance with God's will and God's way. We just studied that just a second ago, didn't we? One way, one faith. But this one faith may be weak. How do we know that? Because it's revealed to us in Scriptures. I'm not going to turn to these Scriptures, but write them down. In Romans chapter 4, 19 through 20, it teaches us that we can possess a weak faith. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 20, we can possess little faith. James chapter 2 and verse 17, it even lists to us that we can have a dead faith. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 10 teaches us that we can have a great faith. And I hope that we can all confidently say tonight that that's where we're at. Our faith is great, it's strong, as Brother Todd prayed for just a moment ago, that it is vibrant and it affects those that are around us. Hopefully we can confidently say that. There is one faith. But that faith can be revealed in many different ways. So you begin to see the importance of growing our faith. Understanding what faith is, how we gain faith. Faith's not just a subject to skim over. And before anybody leaves here tonight and says, well, Neil said we're saved by faith only, that never was a statement of mine. I remember preaching on faith one time, and that's what somebody accused me of. I think we addressed that just a few moments ago. Faith must be coupled with action. But make no mistake, when we look in Scriptures, it teaches us that we are saved by our faith. But our faith can be shaken. Our faith can be what it not ought to be. And our faith can be what God prescribes it to be. That's the only point for this slide. I just want us to understand that. Where are you when it comes to your faith tonight? With your walk with God, are you weak? Do you possess a little faith? Last year we set records with our VBS. You know what? I have faith that we're going to bust that this year. Why? Because I think we're something great here at Greenwood? No, there's a work for God. We're working to fulfill a need in this community. We're doing what we can, and I trust God will do His part. God will provide. Do you believe that? Let me ask you a question, maybe even hit a little closer to home. Do you believe that you'll go to heaven someday? Do you believe that? I do. Not because of my goodness or my graciousness, but because of God's mercy and His grace. And He's told me that if I do the best that I can on this side of eternity with doing His will, there's an entrance supply for me. And I believe my God. I'm not going to get distracted what others say. I'm not going to let my faith become weak. I'm not going to let my faith become little. I'm not going to get people to convince me to have a dead faith. But my faith will be great. It will be large. Because I know whom I believe in. And I hope tonight you're convinced to have a great faith as well. Now, it's kind of like marriage. You say two people were married and you wonder if they are or not. But then you say, oh, those two people are married.
And it's very evident their marriage is great. That's what we need to be after with our faith. To have a faith that is great. And great because of who God is. And great because we are longing to serve Him. Which faith do you have? And then sometime during the week, we're going to close up with talking about this. The blessings of faith. What happens when we serve God right? What happens when we are committed to God as we should be? What happens when we grow our faith and we are standing rooted and grounded firmly in God? What happens? Well, we know what happens, right? The blessings fall down. You know, we sing those songs with the kids. You know, prayers go up. The blessings fall down. And that is so true. When we think about faith, what does faith do for us? You know, you look at these scriptures, it amazed me. There's actually probably about four other ones that I found, but I tried to keep the slide big enough so you can see. And so in your studies this next week, you're going to find several other verses that could be listed in thoughts here. And you might say, well, Neil left them off, and I probably did leave the ones off that you find, because there's a lot of them in the Bible. And I challenge you to find more. But by faith, when we speak about faith and the blessings of faith, we are purified by faith. We are justified by faith. We are saved through faith. We are children of God by faith. We are sanctified by faith. We walk by what? By faith. We live by what? Faith. And we are guarded by what? Faith. Do you think this is an important subject to think about? It is, isn't it? If we often think about faith, okay, we got to have it. And we casually turn over to Hebrews chapter 11 and read verses 1 and 6. Oh, it's important. Yeah, it's essential. It's kind of like the human body. Without your heart, you die. If I took your heart out tonight, what would happen? You would die. You need it. You have to have it. Faith, it's the same way. You have to have it. But let's understand why we have to have it. Because without being justified, we're in sin. That's the whole idea of justified. It's just if I'd not sinned. That's what faith does for us. It puts us in a right relationship with God. We are purified by faith. We are saved through it. So faith becomes essential. Essential. To us, there are so many blessings from having the right type of faith. Again, I ask the question, do you have the right type of faith tonight? Do you have it? We close tonight with the last slide. When does it bless? We know that faith does bless because of all the overwhelming verses that we listed just a moment ago. Faith does bless. But when does it bless? That's the key. When will I receive blessings from my faith? James chapter 2. Let's turn over there for just a moment tonight. James chapter 2. And this will be one of the points that I will stress with the young people in my class that I'll be teaching this next week. James chapter 2, beginning in verse 17, it says this, "Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." Right? One of the worst things that a gardener sees in his garden is dead plants. Why is it a terrible thing to see? Because money's gone into buying those plants. Time has gone in watering those plants, tending to the weeds, doing your very best to keep it where it needs to be. And to go out and find a plant dying, which you spent so much time trying to keep alive, it's devastating to us. So it is with our faith. James chapter 2. Verse 17 and 18. We'll go on to verse 18 right now. "But someone will say, 'You have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I'll show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God? You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble," right? So again, going to this idea of faith, right? Faith is a good starting place. Faith is needed. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But before you puff yourself up and say, "You have faith and that's all you need," understand, even the demons believed and trembled. Even the demons believed and understood. Goes on to say in verse 20, But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? When does faith bless us? Faith blesses us. God blesses us through our faith when our faith becomes action. That's when we are blessed. It's one thing to know about God. It's a whole other thing to serve the God whom you know. And that's what we're talking about. Faith, just claiming to have faith or having faith, is not enough. This faith must grow. It must blossom. It must produce fruits. I'll tell you, some things I've had to do in my garden, as I look into it and I say, Heather, is this a plant or a weed? And sometimes she'll say, well, that's a weed. Okay, you're gone, buddy. Pull him out by his roots. He's gone. Sometimes we'll look at him and we'll say, well, we don't know. So you know what we do with that? We let him stay a little while, see if he produces some flowers. If he doesn't produce flowers, guess what happens to him? We're pulling that buddy out too. He's gone. Faith must produce something. Faith blesses us when we're obedient to God's word. When we allow ourselves to be governed by the authority of God through his word, we are blessed. Moving faith, faith that is an active faith, faith that is obedient, blesses us. Now, we'll get to the verse here. I want to close with this verse. There's another verse up there. You can write that down, study on your own this next couple of days. But I want you to turn over to 2 Peter chapter 1. This is where we will spend the majority of time as we open up the class for the first 5 to 7 minutes. This is the text we'll talk about each day. We're going to open up, we're going to talk about this. So those of you that will be in the middle school class, you're going to want to get familiar with this verse. And I'll explain it in just a moment. But I want to read it first. In 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 5. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith. There's that idea. Starting place, right? Starting with faith. The young people that will be coming this next week no doubt will be excited about learning God's word. They are there. They have the right type of faith. They're standing where they need to stand. But notice what this text teaches us. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. One of the questions I'm going to ask the young people in my class is, what is virtue? We know faith is important. Haven't we studied that tonight? Is faith essential? Absolutely. Is an act of faith essential? Absolutely. I put before us, when we look at adding to our faith, it's essential, not a good thing to have, but essential that we add to our faith virtue. What does that word mean? What does virtue mean? That's what we'll be talking about with the young people. I'm not going to give that to you right now. I want the young people who are sitting here, they're probably getting the notes out, writing the paper out and writing this down. I'll have the answer. No, you study for yourself. You're not going to get that from me. But it says add to your virtue, knowledge. What does that mean? Add to your knowledge, self-control. What does that mean? To self-control, perseverance. What does that mean? To perseverance, godliness. What does that mean? To godliness, brotherly kindness. What does that mean? And then it says in verse 8, for if these things are yours, and what? Abound. What does that word mean? Let's apply it to our theme this year in VBS. Does that not mean grow? If these things are yours and abound, if they grow, right? And that's what we're talking about. God's garden, we're talking about growing. We start with faith. Fruits of faith should be these very things that we're talking about here. You turn to Galatians and we'll look at the works of the flesh as well, compared to those, the works of the Spirit. We're going to talk about that as well in that class. But in verse 8, for if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And isn't that what we're after? I've asked the question tonight to the women, how many of you want to be barren? For those of us that have as many children as we want, we'd probably say, I'm okay with that. But the young people that are looking someday to get married, that's not something they want to think about. They don't want to think about being barren. They want to have children someday. And when you study Scripture, you begin to find out that children are heritage to our youth. They are a fruit. And so when we look at a text like this text in Peter, it not only teaches us what we've talked about tonight. Faith is essential. Faith is the starting place. But faith alone will not cut it. There are things that you have to add to your faith in order to be pleasing to God. I wish we had more time to spend talking about faith tonight. Again, I've jumped around. I've looked at a lot of different verses. And my hope and desire is tonight that I've intrigued your mind just a little bit about the concept of faith. And that maybe as a young couple, you'll go home this next week, as a young married couple, and study. Take this next week and study about faith. It'll change your marriage. As an individual Christian serving God, my hope and desire is that you'll take this subject home and study it this next week. For those of you that have a little bit of age on you, leave that alone at that. Maybe you go home and study the subject of faith. Faith will provide that endurance for you as you deal with the aches and pains that so often come to the elderly as you serve God. Faith will save us. It will. Scripture is very clear on that. And I challenge you to get more familiar with it. Are you here tonight and not a Christian? I humbly ask of you to become one. Maybe you're here and you have faith in God. It's not just a knowledge, but it is faith. You understand who God is, and you know only by God's grace and mercy can you receive forgiveness of your sins. If that's you tonight, our hope and desire, collective hope and desire tonight as Christians here at Greenwood, is that you'll do, as we just mentioned just a second ago, that you'll have an obedient faith. That you'll say, tonight is the night that my mind is made up. I will start serving God as I ought to. You'll confess, you'll repent of your life. You'll change direction. You'll confess the name of Jesus Christ as God's Son tonight. And you'll be baptized. So God Himself can add you to His family. That's our hope and desire here as a collective body here at Greenwood. And if so be you desire to place membership with us, we hope that you'll do that as well. But we hope that the Word affects you tonight in a positive way. And that you've been built up by being here tonight. And that you'll do something with your faith. That you'll do something with this knowledge pertaining to faith tonight. That you won't let it fall on deaf ears. If you're here and you're Christian, you've not been living right. Maybe it's your faith that's been wavering. Maybe it's not a great faith right now. Maybe you find yourself in those three other aspects that we talked about tonight. Maybe it's a weak faith. Far be it from you. Maybe it's a dead faith tonight. It's time for you to get that right with God. And there's no more acceptable time to do that than right now. Close your eyes, ask God for forgiveness, and be assured tonight that He'll forgive you. And if you'd like us to pray with you, we will do so with tender and humble hearts, knowing that we ourselves have struggled with the subject of faith. And we just want to help you out. That's where we're at tonight. Just want to help you out. And if you'd let us, we will do that. Together as we stand and sing, test, examine, know yourselves. We can help you anyway. Come to the front or raise your hand.